13. Before we listen to God's word, I invite you to just bow your heads in prayer. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the message you have for us today. As we are gathered here, may your spirit open our hearts and our minds to receive your message. And may you truly speak to us today. We ask it in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. He, Jesus, left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the word of the Lord. I'm sure you've all traveled many times by plane. There are some things that you can't take on a plane these days, ever since, I guess, 9/11. You can't take any guns, you can't take any knives, any box cutters, you can't even take a nail clipper. I mean, that's all understandable, maybe except for the nail clippers. I don't quite get that one. But what about the stuff like toothpaste or mouthwash or hair gel? Well, you're allowed a few personal care items, as you know, but only in small amounts. And you have to pack them in a special way because explosives can be disguised to look like those innocent products. So you either have to leave them at home or put them in your checked bags or take with you just a small amount in a clear little bottle on the plane. And I think the TSA would be happier if we all took nothing more than the clothes in our bags for our journeys by plane. And maybe it would be less cumbersome, but I don't believe it's very practical, though. So what we see here in our passage for today, our gospel passage, is that is what Jesus is doing with his disciples. As he's sending them out on a journey in pairs of two to do ministry, he told them, "You may take along a walking stick, but don't carry food or a traveling bag or any money. It's all right to wear sandals, but don't take along a change of clothes." So he says, don't think you need any extra equipment as you go out to cast out demons and heal the sick and call people to repentance. Like the TSA for us, Jesus has a list of prohibited items for his disciples. No food, no bag, no second pair of clothing. He says, take your walking stick and your sandals and the clothes on your backs, and that's about it. So the question is why? What was his reason? Well, Jesus felt that those items could undermine the mission on which he was sending his disciples. He wanted them to depend on God to provide for them through the hospitality of strangers. How they traveled and were welcomed was to be itself a demonstration of God's care. Wherever you go, he said, stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any place refuses to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you've abandoned those people to their fate. So think about it. It's like Jesus was saying to them, don't check any bags. Only take a small carry-on, a walking stick, your sandals, and the clothes you're wearing. So what they basically took with them was only themselves. All they took was who they were. And maybe that's the lesson for us. When Jesus sends us out to be his people in the world, and when he tells us to take nothing with us but to rely on him, in essence, we can't help but take along who we actually are. And I guess who we are as we journey as God's people through life includes the baggage we normally carry with us through life. And when I say baggage, I don't mean stuff like suitcases or backpacks or carry-on bags. When I say baggage, what I mean is the burdensome personal history we drag with us. The baggage we carry in our lives that prevents us from living fully in the present. Now, would you say that you have some baggage that you drag along through life with you? Or would you say, no, I mean, not me. I'm traveling light. There's nothing that weighs me down or slows me down as I journey through life. It's all carefree and fancy-free. All right, so I've been a pastor for a long time. I mean, I look young, but actually I've been a pastor for a long time. But I don't think I've ever met anyone without some baggage that they carry with them. Maybe your baggage is how you deal with conflict. Because you often blow up and you always have to be right, and you can't ever say the words, I'm sorry. You have this non-productive way of dealing with conflict. Or maybe your baggage is that you simply can't trust anyone. You've been hurt in a relationship, and so you've built a wall around you, and you won't let anyone into your existence. And it's the baggage you bring into your relationships. Or you have some fears from your childhood that have never been addressed. Or you're carrying with you some psychological damage from being abused, verbally or maybe even physically. Maybe you have some frightening ideas about God, that God is only out to get you. So we all have that baggage that we carry in our life's journey. We all have stuff that we hold over from our past. Things that prevent us from getting on well in our relationships or with our responsibilities. In fact, sometimes our baggage gets so heavy that we need counseling to deal with them. Or we need psychological help to unload it. And so what I'm talking about is the problem of baggage. And we all have the problem. We all have some kind of baggage that travels with us through life, even when we think we've taken nothing for the journey. So, what can we learn from Jesus as he sends out the 12 on their journey? I mean, what do we see? First, he tells them to take nothing for the journey. But he never tells them to go buck naked. He says to them, be vulnerable, but you don't have to be that vulnerable. You can take your shortcomings with you. It's okay for your scarred psyches to go with you. Your damaged emotions, well, they will go with you. And in spite of all of those things, you can still do the work to which I call you. In spite of the baggage that is part of you, you will still be able to cast out demons and heal the sick. And second, the disciples were working for the divine healer, remember. Matthew says, after a day in which Jesus cast out spirits and healed the sick, that what Jesus had done was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and bore our diseases. Jesus is the ultimate healer who took our infirmities and bore our diseases. I want you to take note of the word infirmities. Because since it's included in an account of Jesus healing several people, we might assume that infirmities is simply a synonym for illnesses or diseases. But there are really two activities named here: healing or bearing our diseases, and casting out spirits, which is taking our infirmities. And so the fact is, in the Bible, the meaning of the word infirmity or weakness seems to range from our sins on the one hand to our illnesses on the other. And so I think it's very reasonable to conclude that infirmities can include emotional baggage as well. And for that kind of load, the Bible seems to say that what we need is not necessarily forgiveness or medicine, but divine healing. Because you see, as Christians, we are quick, very quick to label some of our hang-ups as sins. Now, some of our hang-ups are sins, absolutely, but don't be so quick to go there. Let's say you know someone who has too high an opinion of himself, and you think, he's guilty of the sin of pride. But maybe he's flaunting his abilities, but he's not proud at all. Maybe he has such a low self-esteem that his apparent pride is actually an attempt to hide how worthless he feels. And so what he suffers from is not the sin of pride, but some baggage that he's carrying along with him. And what he needs is not forgiveness, but healing. Or maybe you know another Christian who suffers from persistent guilt. And she's always feeling guilty. And so you're thinking, well, maybe she has some unconfessed sin in her life. Well, that could be the case, of course. But it's also possible that those feelings of guilt may simply arise from the fact that her parents were severe and judgmental people. Or maybe she grew up hearing a lot of hellfire and damnation preaching. In the Sermon on the Mount, for instance, Jesus says, don't be anxious about your life. Don't worry about whether you have enough food and drink or clothes. He says, instead of worrying about everything, trust God to care for you and first seek His kingdom. And so since Jesus said, don't worry and don't be anxious, is it sinful to be anxious and to worry? When you talk to some Christians, they will tell you, well, they think so. But I don't think that's what Jesus said. He said, don't be anxious, but he never said that the person who's anxious is lost or is sinning. The tendency to worry about everything doesn't mean we're not faithful followers of Christ. It may mean, however, that we have some baggage. So, what can we do about our baggage? How can we leave our baggage behind as we travel the journey of life as God's people? Let me just make a few quick suggestions. Here are some things that might be helpful in dealing with our infirmities. Things that might even help us leave some of our baggage behind. First of all, well, ask God to help you. Ask Him to help you face your problems squarely. Ask Him to give you the strength to tackle your problems head on so that you won't avoid them, so that you won't try to rationalize them away. Be honest. Admit to God that specific reaction that interferes with your relationships, for instance, or those things that keep you from doing well in life. Maybe you'll have to do some introspection to identify them. Maybe you'll have to raise your level of self-awareness and allow someone else to speak into your life. But be honest and ask God to help you to face them. Secondly, empty the poison bottle. What I mean is, take a look at those people you usually blame for some of your hang-ups. Maybe your parents, or a teacher, or another figure in your past. People you are still allowing to control your beliefs about yourself and the way you respond to certain situations. Empty the poison bottle and make a decision to not let those memories keep poisoning you today. Number three, accept responsibility. Accept the responsibility for who you are today. Maybe you need to visit your past. Maybe you need to try to understand where your various complexes originate. Maybe helpful to look at what circumstances in your past have contributed to shaping who you are today. But it's far more important to say, regardless of how I got where I am, I am responsible for dealing with it now. I'm responsible for working to become the whole person God intended me to be. I'm making the decision to move on from the past. I need to take control of where I'm heading tomorrow. It may mean you will need to ignore certain gut reactions and instead behave in ways that are more adult and more mature. And lastly, lay the problem before God. If you feel you need counseling, I encourage you to get some. If there's a support group that can help you, then become a part of it. If you need to see a psychiatrist, then do that. I'm not suggesting that those things are inappropriate for baggage handling. As a matter of fact, I think they're often the first line of help. But as your pastor, I want to encourage you to also take your baggage to God. I encourage you to lay it before God. I believe you should talk to God about the scars you have in your life. And let Jesus handle the baggage. You see, God is the ultimate healer. And giving your baggage to Him is a vital part of the healing process. And He says, I will make you well again. I will heal your wounds. That is God's promise to to you and me. He will help you. Jesus wants to heal you. He wants you to leave your baggage behind as He sends you on your way through life's journey. So give it to Him and travel with His grace and forgiveness and strength and healing. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for allowing us to realize that we all carry some things with us. Baggage that maybe we've never dealt with. May You make us aware of it through Your Holy Spirit. May You give us the strength to take it and bring it to You. Will You allow us to allow Your healing spirit into our lives? Because through Your grace and Your strength and the work of Your spirit and the help of others, we can let our baggage go, leave it behind, so that we can become more and more the people You see us to be. To become the whole people of God. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.